Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is good to be back with my sister. Our other sister is homesick with her children, so we miss you, Tanya.
We do, Tanya and little baby Micah.
I know, the flu's going around. But it is daybreak. We are in daybreak.
We are in daybreak.
And we are going to start with the book of Exodus talking about Moses.
Wow.
And I'm really excited.
I like Moses.
I do too, man. I can learn a lot from him.
Yeah, me too.
So let's learn from him today.
All right, we're gonna dive in and just listen to the story for a second. Let's go through and think, who is Moses? In case you're listening, you don't know who Moses is. Moses is the guy, essentially, that was born during the time when little baby boys were being killed. And his mom and dad, in order to save his life, once he reached the age where they couldn't take care of him quietly anymore, had his sister put him in the River Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him. Moses was raised essentially by Pharaoh's daughter as an Egyptian. And the blessing of God was is that his mom was the one that nursed him. So she taught him the principles of his life. As being a Hebrew and the songs and the traditions and things like that. But he also grew up knowing the education, the mindset of the Egyptians. And the reason why the Israelites were in Egypt was because they went to Egypt looking for food during the famine. Mm-hmm. And 400 years has passed and they've not heard from God. Moses essentially has grown up. And one day while he was out working, he saw that an Egyptian was beating up a Hebrew man. And in the process of allowing his rage to take over, he killed the Egyptian. And people found out about it, and he had to flee. He fled. He fled Egypt, and he took off running and ended up in the land of Midian. And that is where we're going to find Moses at this point. He's been in the land of Midian for 40 years. A long time to have been removed from what he knew as he grew up. And here he is in the land of Midian, and he's doing what is his normal daily routine. And he's tending the flocks on the mountain, the Mount Moriah. And all of a sudden he notices that there is a bush that is burning, but it's not being all consumed. And he thinks, well, what is this? I need to go find out what is happening.
Of course.
So Moses goes over to see what this strange sight is, and he hears Moses, Moses. He's here I am. Can you imagine what he was thinking? And God says to him, you are standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes.
I love that.
And Moses is so afraid that he falls down, hides his face, and I mean, just greatly afraid of what he has seen. And God says, I have come to rescue and bring back my people, and I'm going to bring you into the land of honey, milk and honey, in the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, yeah, there's, it's like the Ite people.
Right.
And Pharaoh says, I want you to go and bring my people out. And Moses is like, me? Well, to Pharaoh? And God tells him, I'm going to give you a sign so that you can do it. And the sign is that I'll bring you back to the mount that you have this message so that you'll know I have fulfilled my promise. And he said, but God, who will I say sent me? And God says, I am. And this is the name of God that is the forever name to be remembered by the people. And he wants to take them into the land. And he says, listen, Moses, the elders are going to listen to you. You don't have to be afraid. They're going to listen. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell the king that you want to take the Israelites on a 3-day journey to offer sacrifices to me. But the king's not going to let you go. And so what I'm going to do is by my mighty hand, I will compel him. And when he is not willing, then my hand will strike them with signs and wonders, and then he will let you go. And he says, in fact, when you leave, it's going to be so amazing that the people will literally give you their stuff. They will give you everything that you need and beyond what you can imagine as you leave for the land. So as they are beginning this thought, and Moses is sitting there and he's like, you know, what is going on? He says, but what if they don't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? And the Lord, and they question that, God, that you would even come to me. And God's like, you know, Moses, what is in your hand? And he says, a staff. And he says, okay, throw it down on the ground, and it turns into a snake. And, of course, Moses ran from it because a snake is not right. something you want to stand there stand by. And imagine he was pretty shocked. And he said to Moses, God said, Moses, grab it by the tail. He grabs it, and the staff reappears. And then God says to Moses, put your hand inside your coat. So he puts his hand inside his coat, and he said, take it out. And when he takes it out, it's leprous, and Moses is afraid because of the leprous. And he said, now put it back in. He puts it in, take it out, and now it's healed. He said, the third sign is going to be if you take water, pour it into the river, it's going to turn into blood. And but if they won't believe that pour it out, and you know, it's okay. And but Moses is still struggling. Here, God's given him all these signs, and he's like, but God, I can't speak.
Right.
I'm not eloquent. I stutter. You could totally like relate, right? And then God says, who gave you your mouth? Who makes the deaf hear? Who makes the one to see see? I am the Lord. You will go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you. God makes it clear to him. And Moses is like, God, could you please just send someone else? Okay, I mean, like, Moses, come on.
That
and at this point, God's anger burns against Moses, and he says, okay, what about Aaron? He's on his way. Right. I'm going to have him meet you. I'm going to send your brother. He's going to come and help you. He will speak for you. And take your staff and perform what I've told you to do. Do the miraculous signs that I have given you. So Moses went to his father-in-law, Jethro, and he said, is it okay? And Jethro just said to him, go in peace. Go mm-hmm. well, okay? Moses takes his family. They leave. They head back. And he does everything that God says. And then God hardens Pharaoh's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, Moses looks to him and he says that the Lord seeks... he tells the people, and then at this point, I'm sorry, in the journey, as they're traveling with Zipporah, his wife, they actually have a discipline issue occur because Moses did not do what God commanded about circumcising his sons.
Yep.
And so Zipporah has to take it out, and she's like, why did you do this to me? She has to circumcise the son because before we can do God's will, obedience must happen, and that's the lesson they had to learn. And then Moses tells Aaron everything that's happened, and then they go and they gather the people, they tell them, they believe, and that's the beginning before they begin the Exodus. That's what we're going to look at for this next month. That gives you the background wow. so that we can get people to come back and hear the story.
Good storytelling.
Thank you. You know, it's a lot to praise remember. God. It is a lot to remember. And but I had notes to cue me in case I forgot, in case you're wondering. but what we're going to do now is we're going to take apart Exodus 3 and 4. So if you are listening to this radio broadcast, we just want to say hi to you. There's so many people out there that have been listening, that have been connecting with us. Lisa's been listening, so I want to say, hey, a shout out to Lisa, and I know Randy and Mr. Arndt, and then we have the Huang family in Austin, Texas. We have different
Hello.
People that are telling us that they're listening. We just want you to know, thank God for you. We love you, and just may the Lord use this to bless you. Moses here has an encounter with God. We are the whole point behind the Bible study of Daybreak is that we need an encounter with God. I know
yes.
I need an encounter with God, and I know
yes.
you need an encounter with God. But life is full of struggles. It is so full of all kinds of things that can come our way. And sometimes I think our expectation in our relationship with God, that if, in order for us to encounter him, we think that we have to go to the next big event or the next big teacher or the next big book, or hear the next big preacher, or the next big worship song. We have all this mindset that it's got to be in this huge setting. But right here with Moses, we find that in an extraordinary encounter with God occurs when he's doing the mundane. He is a lowly shepherd way out in the mountains of Midian, long far away from what we would consider in their day civilization, in the grass doing what shepherds do. Now, I want you to think about this because a shepherd has a lot of time to think, because keeping sheep does not require a lot of thought-provoking thoughts. You know, I mean, don't you have routines in your life that you can do? What's a routine in your life that you can do that doesn't require you to think?
Laundry, cleaning toilets, mopping.
Right. Okay. Okay. Would you honestly think that I'm going to encounter God when I'm scrubbing my toilet?
No.
Why not? You're at the throne. Oh, sorry, Sabrina. I couldn't resist.
I know.
That was bad. That was really pathetic.
That was given right to you.
You fed me on that one.
I did.
The thing is Moses wasn't expecting it either.
I love that.
And right there, while he's feeding his sheep, watching the sheep, taking care of the sheep, just thinking, when you're in those mundane, I know I have an opportunity to really think. In fact, some deep thoughts can happen when you're doing the mundane. I love to pray when I'm doing dishes.
I have to say a quick note on that, not a side Bible study, but contentment. When you are being truly content in Christ with the mundane, because a lot of times I've caught myself doing laundry or whatever, the mundane, and complaining. So you're not focusing on eternal.
That's it.
Right? So when you are content in Christ, you're able to hear him because you're like, you know what? I'm thankful that I have laundry to do in my
home.
I'm thankful that I have a toilet to clean. And then God sees such a pure heart, a humble heart. And, you know, the communication is open.
That's exactly right. And you know what, Sabrina, I think last month you said something to that effect about contentment. And I want to share with you how God used what you said to connect with me when I was doing the mundane. I was about to scrub something in my house, I can't remember, and I had to get a product from underneath my kitchen sink. And if anybody knows my kitchen sink, I have like three layers high because I have very small kitchen cabinets.
Right,
I don't have
a
lot of space.
Right.
So it's stacked up, and every time we open the door, things fall out. And I started to grumble and complain because things were falling out, and I thought, you know, I need to be content with what I have. And then I took it a step further, and I was like, you know what? Praise God. I have a kitchen sink, and I can pull out cleaning solutions to clean a house when I have people that are in Haiti that I see about on the news or hear about that have no home now.
Yeah,
it totally changes your mindset.
Set your mind on things above.
That's it. That's it. And you know what? Here's Moses. In order for Moses to observe what God is doing in his ordinary circumstances, he had to be aware that God was there. And all of a sudden, he sees this bush, and he notices this isn't just a burning bush where the sun has hit it and the bush is burning up and it's going to disappear. He realizes that the fire of this bush does not go out. And because of that, he says to himself, I must go see what this sight is. Scripture actually tells us that he says that in 3:3. He says, Moses says, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? He actually has that thought, and he records it so that we can see what he was thinking at this time. He has his eyes open to see the movement of God. This is key here. This is extremely key. And something that I started praying about 2 weeks ago in my life, I started asking God, let me see your movement.
I love that.
God, I want to see you moving. And when you are moving, I want to be able to join you. I've heard the phrase, because of experiencing God, with Henry Blackaby, he'll say, where God's at work, join him. But I think part of my problem sometimes is that I don't see the movement.
Right.
You know, or I see that God's working, but I don't realize that it's the movement around me and I need to partake in it.
Right.
And so I'm asking God to help me see how God is moving. And Moses saw the movement happening in that burning bush. And he went over to see what was happening. And because he did that, God allowed him an extraordinary encounter. When we are willing to look for the movement of God and seeking to grasp hold the things of God, God will not let us down.
Never.
That's a daily thing. We can see the movement of God in our life if we are willing and have a heart that desires to see him moving.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
Ah, praise the Lord. And, you know, it has blown my mind away. And just in the last within a week's time since I started praying. I started this prayer on a Saturday morning. By Sunday morning, my husband and I had the privilege of seeing somebody come to know the Lord. By the next Saturday night, we had the privilege of seeing another person come to the Lord.
Wow.
And in both of those circumstances, we could see the orchestration of how God ordained those things to happen through people, timing, conversations, different things. And it wasn't that we had any part in it. It's 100% the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
But it was being a part of seeing God's movement and joining him where he was at. Wow. And that's what Moses did. And that's what God wants from us.
I love that.
And
that's a great prayer.
It is an awesome prayer. And God said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Kind of makes you wonder, was it with a question mark? It doesn't have a question mark in the scripture. I'd like to know what it was in Hebrew. If they used question marks, I don't know the answer to that. But his answer was, here I am. He was ready to answer when his name was called. So regardless, over the next few weeks, as we look at the doubts of the encounters that Moses has and the questions that he brings before God, the key that we do not want to forget is that Moses said, here I am. So even though he questioned God as God laid out what his plan was going to be, Moses had a heart that was willing because he said, here I am.
I love that.
And that's essentially what God is looking from us. Mm-hmm. So in our lives, where is God saying your name? Where is he saying Sabrina, Sabrina? Mm. Where is he saying Tara, Tara? Today I had a moment where I had chapel at Omaha Christian Academy this morning. It was absolutely incredible, talking about missionaries and encouraging the children to grow up to become missionaries. And I came home. I was studying for our Bible study on the radio show recording, and I thought, you know, I've got kind of a headache. I'm going to lay down for a few minutes and just see if I can cut my headache. And my phone rang. I thought, oh, I don't want to get up and answer the phone. And I heard in my heart, Tara, Tara. And I went and answered my phone, and it ended up being a beloved that was just in tears, and she had just cried and asked God, who can I talk to? And my name came to her heart, and she just needed to talk. She didn't need any advice or anything. She just needed to get it out of her heart. Right. And by the time we were done, it was just an incredible blessing to her and to me, because I was willing to say, here I am. Whereas if I remained in my selfishness, I would not have answered my phone. Mm. And that's what God is looking for, is when we're willing to say, here I am.
I love that.
I want to ask you out there that are listening, where in your life is God saying your name and asking you to come and join him in something that's extraordinary, even while you're doing the mundane? Now, for us, it may be that God's not going to call us to lead out an entire nation. But there is somebody that God has pointedly in your life that he is calling you out to be the point man, to be the vessel to go to that person. Who in your life is that person that you could be the person that helps in the encounter so that they can know the Lord, that they can see the burning bush of God at work in their life? Because I know each of you have somebody that you're encountering. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say, we're so thankful that you are listening to Cultivating Hearts and joining Sabrina and myself. This whole lesson just went so fast. You need to come back next week, because we're actually going to look at some lessons that we can learn and see how God had provided a plan before he ever gave the burning bush. We love you and we thank God for you. God bless.